Many are inclined to preach, but the psalmist was inclined to practice. Many are inclined to perform ceremonies, but he was inclined to perform statutes. Many are inclined to obey occasionally, but David would obey always. And alas, many are inclined for temporary religion, but this godly man was bound for eternity. He would perform the statutes of his Lord and King even unto the end. Lord, send us such a heavenly inclination of heart as this. Then shall we show that thou hast quickened and taught us. This is a quote coming to you from the Treasury of David. In this broadcast, we are continuing the theme of resolutions in our new series entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. In this particular broadcast, we will cover the new subject of obeying the Lord as we deal with resolution number 48 as found in. Now, we're going to have two verses of scripture that will be our main text. First of all, Psalm 119, verse 36, which says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. And the second verse is Psalm 119, 112, which says, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Okay, as we look at these two verses of scripture, Psalm 119, verse 36, the psalmist prays, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. But then we find in Psalm 119, verse 112, we find him saying, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Okay, when you first look at this, you wonder, is this a contradiction? Here we have the psalmist praying for God to incline his heart. And then we find him saying, I have inclined my heart. Okay, well, which is it? Does God incline or does man incline? Are these things contrary one to the other? Now, we're going to deal with this in this particular message. But just to give you an answer to that question, no, they are not contrary, because we're going to see that God inclines by effecting, and the godly man inclines by working out. God and man work together. They both have a part to play. Okay, now, first of all, we're going to look at a scripture, two verses of scripture from the New Testament, which show this working of God and man together. It's in Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Here, Paul is exhorting the Christians with these words. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Here is the exhortation, the command to the believers. Work out your own salvation. This is the duty that's being given here. And it should be every Christian's great work to be daily working out his own salvation. Now, you may be thinking, well, salvation is a free gift. We're not saved by good works. And that's correct. We're saved by grace through faith, putting our faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's how you're saved. But after you are saved, you should be doing good works. You have a duty to perform. And here's your duty: to work out your own salvation. Now, what does that mean? What did Paul mean by that? What he was saying there was, perfect the work of salvation, develop it, bring it to maturity. Go on in the course of cheerful obedience. Obey the gospel. Attend constantly to the word that you read, that you hear preached and taught. Discharge every one of your duties in faith. Work out your own salvation. That's your duty that you have as a Christian now that you are saved. Okay, I want us to look at three ways that you can work out your own salvation, because you may be thinking, well, how do I do that? How do I work out my own salvation? Now, I picked three ways, but there are countless ways throughout the Bible. But let's just look at three in particular. This is how you work out your own salvation, how you perfect it, how you develop it, how you carry it to completion. Number one, we find the first thing in Proverbs 4:23, where Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, in order to work out your own salvation, it is necessary that you keep your heart with all diligence. What Solomon meant there, he said, he was saying, keep a strict guard over the workings of your mind, over your inclinations. Your heart there would be your thoughts, your will, your affections, your inclinations. Keep your heart, keep a strict guard over your heart. Above all cares, above all that must be guarded with more care and diligence than men would use over anything else. You have to keep your heart with all diligence, because if the heart is right, so will the actions be right. If your heart is inclined by the grace of God, then you will be able to live a life of faith and holiness here. Okay, so keep your heart with all diligence. How else do you work out your own salvation? How do you perfect it, develop it, carry it to completion? We find number two in Jeremiah 4:14, where it says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Now, I want you to notice the words, heart, wickedness, vain thoughts. Here, the people of God were told, wash your heart from wickedness. Wash your heart. But then what's mentioned is vain thoughts. What's the wickedness that the prophet was talking about? He was talking about vain thoughts, meaning evil thoughts, sinful thoughts. Now, we all know that the life of every man is governed by his thoughts. Your character and conduct is a definite expression of your secret thoughts. So it's very important that you deal with your thoughts, and especially vain thoughts, evil thoughts. Now, oftentimes when we think of evil thoughts, we immediately think of lust, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, covetousness, greed, strife, envy, jealousy, these kind of things. And that could mean, include those. But for the purpose of this verse, God was zeroing in on those inconstant thoughts that were in Jerusalem that made them of a divided mind. Those thoughts that had them, where they had a state of mind where they were constantly wavering. They were now inclined to obedience, and then They were inclined to disobedience. They were halting between two opinions. They were double-minded. They weren't sure whether they wanted to fully serve the Lord or fully serve the world around them. So this is what the prophet is talking about. Get rid of those vain thoughts that are lodging within thee. Wash your heart from wickedness, that double-mindedness, that compromising with truth, where you want to serve the Lord, but yet you still want to serve the world as well. Okay, another way to work out your own salvation, number three, is found in Joshua 24, 23 to 24, where Joshua said, "Now therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." Now notice what Joshua said. He said, "Put away the strange gods which are among you," but it should be "which are within you." Get them out of your heart. Get rid of that inward tendency to idolatry, that secret inclination to idolatry. And then what did he say? "When you put away those strange gods that are within you, then incline your heart unto the Lord, because God desires your affections. He must be chosen openly. He wants to be your portion, the chief object of your life." Okay, so we looked at working out your own salvation. This is your duty. You are to perfect it, develop it, carry it to completion. How do you do that? Here are three suggestions, three ways the Bible tells us to work out your own salvation. Keep your heart with all diligence. Wash your heart from wickedness. Get rid of those vain thoughts that cause you to be double-minded, to be wavering in your allegiance to Jesus. And put away the strange gods that are within you. Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Now notice, Paul did not just say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He went on to add, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Okay, your duty is to work out your own salvation, but here comes God's encouragement. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." What it's talking about here is that God comes along and he exerts such an influence over you as to lead to a certain result in your mind. And that result is to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, he makes you willing. He inclines your will to that which is good. Now, he doesn't act for you, but he leads you. It doesn't say that he wills and does. It says that you will and do. Now, notice here, God doesn't compel or force you against your will. The will cannot be forced, but he exerts an influence. That influence is his grace, as to make you willing to obey him, to will and to do that which is in accordance to his will. Listen to what Barnes Snow said. "Though every right inclination of the human heart is to be traced to the divine agency, yet it is also true that man is active in religion, or that his own mind resolves, chooses, or prefers, and that true religion is the actual choice or preference of all who serve God aright." So anytime you see a right inclination of the heart, that has to be traced to God. Yet you have a part to play. It's not just God. God has the inclination, the right inclination of the heart, but you have a part to play. It's your own mind that has to resolve, has to choose, has to prefer. So Christianity, or serving God aright, is your actual choice or preference. We're not robots. We choose, we prefer, we resolve. Okay, so the New Testament example of God and man and the Christian, the believer, working together is Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But then we go to our main text in the Old Testament, Psalm 119, 112, where the psalmist said, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And then in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Psalm 119, 112, the psalmist said, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. What he was saying here was, I am resolved, I am purposed, it's an act of choice on my part. I have made it a solemn intention. I have given that direction to the inclination of my heart. I am determined. I have a made up mind. I have decided to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I am resolved to do the will of God constantly, to stick to the word, to keep God's commands. Now listen to what the Treasury of David said. Heart inclination is requisite for pleasing a heart searching God, and to make obedience easy and even delightful. Now, I want you to pay attention to those words, hard inclination. That is so important in our obedience to God. Where our heart is inclined, how our heart is inclined, it will determine if our obedience is easy and delightful. Okay, having resolved that he will consistently and wholeheartedly keep the law of God, he seeks help from God to keep his resolve. Now, we all know what it's like to make a resolution and within a day, a week, a month, a year, to just fail at it, to drop the ball, so to speak. You know, we had good intentions, but we couldn't carry it through. Well, here, the psalmist made this powerful resolve. I mean, listen to it. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Well, knowing the weakness of his own heart, he knew that he would need God's help to keep that resolve. And so that's why in verse 36, he prayed, O Lord, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. And what he was saying there was, O Lord, turn my heart, bend my mind, my will towards your word. Make me want to obey you, Lord. Give me the desire to obey. Cause my heart to be inclined to your word. And the way God responded to that was by his grace. By his grace, he would make him willing to do his commands. He would bend and incline his heart by his grace. Oh, thank God for the grace of God. What a mighty power is God's grace. Now listen to what the Treasury of David said. What a blessing it is that we may ask the Lord even for an inclination. Our wills are free, yet without violating their liberty, grace can incline us in the right direction. We are free will agents. God will not bypass our wills, but yet, without violating our liberty, God can pour out such grace on us that will incline us in the right direction. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask for an inclination. If you are having trouble obeying in a certain area, ask God for an inclination. The pulpit commentary said this: with the inclined heart, the life of obedience becomes easy, becomes even a delight. Let me ask you today, do you have an inclined heart? Is yours a life of obedience? Does obedience to God come easy? And you may be facing a season right now where God's requiring something of you that is very difficult. It is so hard on your flesh. I mean, you are really struggling, and you find that you're constantly failing in trying to do what God's requiring. Well, let me ask you, do you have an inclined heart? Have you asked God for an inclination? This is a good time to do so. Ask. You have not because you ask not. Ask God for an inclination. God will help you. Matthew Henry said, duty is then done with delight when the heart is inclined to it. It is God's grace that inclines us. God does not want you to be struggling or to dread what he requires of you. He wants your duty to be a delight. And so ask for an inclination. God will give you the grace that will incline you to obey him. Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Ask for an inclination. God will give you his grace. God does not force your will to keep his commandments. He does incline your will in that direction if you ask him. Ask for an inclination. Now, in closing, I want to leave you with a final quote from the Treasury of David. There is such strife for the heart as there was for Moses' body. Give it me, saith the Lord. Give it me, saith the tempter. Give it me, saith riches. Give it me, saith pleasure, as though thou must needs give it to someone. Now here is the choice, whether thou wilt give it to God or the devil, God's heart or the devil's heart. Whose wilt thou be? Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of resolutions as found in the book of Psalms. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying for God's mighty grace to incline your heart in the right direction, the direction of obedience to his word. In Jesus' name, amen.